Welcome to Mountain View. I'm Pastor Sarah. It is good to be able to worship with you on this beautiful spring day, on Mother's Day. Welcome to you all, and welcome to all of those who are visiting with us for the first time. Are there any new faces in the crowd that we haven't seen before? Are you pointing out someone you know, Garrett? Are you willing to introduce them? Okay.
My mom, this is my dad, Monica and Judd.
Hello, Monica and Judd. Welcome. We offer popcorn for popping in, so thanks for being here. And Garrett is one of our illustrious bell ringers, so I'm glad you all can be here. Well, welcome to everyone. Today is a great day that we can worship together and recognize the way we are in union with God, and thus being able to live out of that and see one another with God's eyes. So with that in mind, we're going to hear a little bit about what's happening in our world and then continue to worship.
Happy Mother's Day. There are a few events in our church that I'd like to share with you. The first is that there's a box in the narthex in which to put these lovely components of the hygiene kits for UMCOR disaster relief. And there's a list of all the ingredients for the kits right next to that box. So that's for disaster relief throughout the US and the world. So make sure you pick up some of these supplies to put in there. We have a fair trade sale today in the narthex as well. So if you still need a Mother's Day gift, this is a great opportunity. And the profits go to Mozart Adevu, our covenant missionary in Ghana. Next Sunday is Music Heritage Sunday, and there will be a brunch in Barker Hall at 9 a.m., and then we're going to have a combined service at 10:30, featuring all of the different ensembles, so we'd love to see you there. And then we will have a new schedule for summer worship, so through June and August, there will be one combined worship service at 10 a.m., and it will have all the blended music ensembles. Adult education will be held beforehand, and there will be other fellowship opportunities following worship. Vacation Bible School is June 10th through 14th. The theme is Roar VBS, and it's for ages 3 years through fifth grade. Families can register on our website, and volunteers of all ages and time commitments are invited to help. There are sign-up sheets next to the front doors in the narthex. The Boulder volunteers age 14 plus are needed as rope holders at the beginning of the event on Monday, May 27th. For more information on that, contact Doris Turner. And you can find more information on and opportunities in your bulletin. Now a word from Jean Bowen.
Good morning. I'm here as the Mountain View's chairman of the Staff Parish Relations Committee, and I have a letter from our bishop and district superintendent to the people of Mountain View. Dear people of God, I am writing to share with you that Bishop Karen Oliveto intends to appoint the Reverend Sarah Merchant as the next pastor for Stevensville United Methodist Church in Stevensville, Montana, effective July 1st, 2019. God bless you all as you find ways to honor and celebrate the ministry of Sarah and her family. Also, please pray for them as they prepare for their transition to Montana. I will be praying with and for you during this time of pastoral transition. Be well always, Reverend Tenzo Thong. And so we have the sad, happy news of wishing Sarah and Mac well wishes on their way to a new pastorate. Please stand. Because I can embarrass you. We just want to say thank you to Sarah and Matt. It's an exciting opportunity for the both of them. We're very tickled and sad at the same time. Please stand and greet one another with the passing of the peace. May the peace of Christ be with you.
may be seated, and I'll invite our kids to come up, and Larissa, we're going to live into our Mother's Day tradition after a few words. Come sit with me.
Come on over, guys. Come on over, Eleanor. Okay, guys, how's it going this week? Good. It's such a nice day out, isn't it? What is so special about today? It's Mother's Day. Did you guys give your moms lots of hugs this morning? Did anybody make their mom a card, perhaps? Yeah? How about anybody make their mom some breakfast in bed? Not this morning. That's harder to do, huh? I bet all of you, though, did you tell your mom how much you love her? Yeah, our moms are pretty special people, aren't they? We can tell them we love them. We can show that we love her with cards and helping her around the house and just telling her how great she is, right? So today is the day we celebrate our moms, but we're also going to celebrate all these women that are in our lives. Because you guys have, your moms are pretty special, but do you guys have grandmas? Yeah, we do. Do you guys have aunts? Yeah, our aunts are special to us. How about some cousins? Yeah? How about teachers? How about friends and people in this congregation, neighbors, right? We've been learning about loving our neighbors in Sunday school. This is a great way to do it, right? So we are going to celebrate all the women in this church, the women who have known you guys since you were itty-bitty, who pray for you, who think about you, who love you just as much as your own moms, right? So right here, we've got some flowers over here by Pastor Sarah that we are going to go work on passing out to all of the women you see sitting here. And when you hand them a flower, tell them thank you. Tell them you're thinking about them. Tell them you care about them. And show them how much you love them with a flower. Can we say a prayer real quick before we do that? You guys bow your heads. Say, hey, God, thank you for our moms. Thank you for our grandmas. Thank you for our aunts. Thank you for all the women in our lives. Help us show them how much they mean. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us.
Thanks for loving.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. I'll invite the rest of us to stand, and while the kids are passing out flowers, we are going to sing our opening hymn together. You can take. Amen. You may be seated. We have a few extra flowers that need a home. If you haven't received one, please let us know. There's some ladies up here that need some help with their flowers, too. Excellent. Thanks, Dad, for your help, too. Well, as we continue to honor those who have nurtured us in our lives, we come to our time where we worship together in prayers of joys and concerns. So as the kids head back with Larissa and go to Sunday school. She's right in the back there. Oh, it's so much fun. What are the prayers that are on your heart and mind today? Yes, Desiree. Thank you. Sharon Tseng has been ill for a long time, but this is the first time where she's in the hospital for an extended period. So keep her in your prayers, as well as her son Rupert and husband Khan, Sharon and the Tseng family. Yes, Francis.
Grandson Richard got back to work this week.
Great. Okay. Francis's grandson Richard was bitten by a rattlesnake, but he's back at work now. He's recovered and feeling good. So thank you for the prayers. Yeah. I'm sorry. And what is her name?
Linda.
Linda? Okay. Prayers for Linda, who is undergoing cancer treatment. Yes, Bonnie.
So I have a message.
Thank you.
He says, Sharon is still not well and would love the prayers of Mountain View. And we thank you all for your love.
Thank you. So Khan sent a message that Sharon is still not well and they would all appreciate your prayers. And they love you. Thanks for loving them. Thank you, Bonnie, for sharing that message from Khan. Others that you would lift up today. Our world is hurting in ways that feel very real and present to us, including the school shootings. And so I want us to lift up students and faculty and staff and administration and parents who continue to trust that they are going to send their kids home there and come back. But I think the larger prayer is for us to live in a way that we find peace through love, as opposed to peace through violence. So that's my big prayer. Thanks, Jane. So let's pray together as we will. God, we open our hearts this morning to you, recognizing that they can be heavy with thoughts of our friends and our community, and that they can be buoyed by the hope we hear from one another, and they can be full of joy and thanksgiving, and it can be all of this at once. And so we offer this, our heart, to you, that it might be connected in ways that we are restored and renewed to who you call us to be. God, you broke open this morning for us in a way that is mysteriously wonderful and for which we can only offer our awe and thanksgiving. And in the midst of this beauty that surrounds us, both in the world and the people that are right next to us, that we woke up to in the morning and that laughed and gave us hugs, and the memories that we hold of people that are dear in our lives, all of those being tender places that remind us of who we are and whose we are, we thank you. And we also pray with fervent hearts, with assurance that not only are mornings broken open to beauty, but that our hearts might be broken open to hold beauty and to express beauty in the world. We do pray for peace of all kind, but especially peace that can come through love. We ask for your healing for Sharon and for the wholeness of that family as they encounter each step of this journey. We pray for others in this congregation who need healing, who need reassurance for employment, who need a friend, who might feel lonely. We pray for the ways that we are traveling, that we are celebrating graduations and seeing those momentous steps being crossed into. And we recognize, God, that you are with us in each of those moments, in each of those steps, in each of those transitions, and across each of those thresholds. And so we pray that with assurance that you give us the courage and the ability to do that, and that you also give us the hands to hold when we need them. Thank you, God, for being the God we are in union with, loved from, and from which we can love others. That's the promise that we hold this day, and it's the promise that we pray all together as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand for our centering hymn. May be seated. As the ushers come forward, know that God's vision is for you, and God's vision is used with these gifts, both the gifts that you offer of time and presence and witness, and the gifts that you offer into this plate. And so know that as God's vision is made manifest in the world, it is a vision of love and possibility. Amen.
Thank you.
and gracious God, we ask that you bless these gifts and the givers, and may they be used in ways that bless the world. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Please join me in the scriptural meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The scripture today is from Luke chapter 2, verse 27 through 38. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. The word of God for the people of God.
Can you count the stars?
In celebrating mothers and women who have nurtured us into who we are today, memories come flooding forth. Yes, there are the memories of burnt brownies or silly dancing. I resemble both of those remarks. But the ladies behind these descriptions also hold memories in their mind and their heart and their very body. Bringing a kid into the family by childbirth, adoption, fostering, or just deep love and deep commitment leaves a visceral mark. Mothers know and remember the weird feelings of pregnancy, the cravings, the swollen feet, the alien-like movements within their belly. And their partners know the difficulty of working off sympathy pregnancy pounds, if you catch my meaning. But everyone knows not to ask that question, when's the baby due? And remembers the sting of the slap when mistakenly asked. But in all seriousness, these moments of lives, new lives in our midst, settle deep memories. They answer prayers, they unpack hopes, and they open big, huge, new boxes of fears and questions. As the child, you were held closely with all of this, and love unimaginable by God. Those who encounter you, beholding all of you, believed you into being. Author Jennifer Michael Hecht crafted this phrase, giving it depth and breadth. When considering human beings, individuals as a part of a community, putting yourself in a communal, in the place of communal things, she says, helps you realize your value and gift of life. We have all sorts of secret web-like connections to each other. And sometimes, when you can't see what's important about you, other people can. We're not much when we're not in the eyes of someone else, at least some of the time. We are indebted to one another, and the debt is a kind of faith, a beautiful, difficult, strange faith. We believe each other into being. This reality of believing, of molding memories and embracing one another, in holding a mirror to each other so that they can see their soul, doesn't just happen because we have a phone that, with a camera that can capture a picture or something that can be stuck in a journal to remember later. It happens with intention, and it happened to Jesus too. So begs the question, what do others really see? What do they know? And why does it matter? And is all of this a reflection of God's character? As we look to Simeon and Anna today, we can be reminded that others did for Jesus what God does for all of us through each other. Believe us into being. Will you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, I ask that the words that I speak, the reflections on our hearts, and those small stillnesses in between be a conduit to your words, to your message, to our hearts. Give us the ability to see as you do so that we might share that gift with the world. In your name we pray, amen. So I'd like to begin with the gospel lesson today, and you might have a little bit of deja vu from your Christmas recollections. The reason is that this passage is often read right after the Sunday after Christmas because it's about Simeon and Anna who meet Jesus as a new baby. Mary and Joseph have brought their new son to the temple in Jerusalem for those rituals of dedication and circumcision. Each of these prophets encounter and responded uniquely to this baby Jesus. Anna focused her attention on hope. Following the death of her husband at a very young age, Anna spent the next 8 decades at the temple, dedicated to fasting and prayer. In many ways, hope kept her alive as she awaited the coming Messiah. Now, I think it's important to note that her focus and intention wasn't wasted through the years on a pie-in-the-sky idea. It wasn't like she was buying a lottery ticket every day, just, you know, hoping to win it big. Her hoping, her waiting, her practice of praying and fasting was a present communion with God. Every day, she connected with God. So when Jesus and his parents entered the room, she knew the divine and the unifying essence of God already and could see that at hand in Jesus. She knew in the way that the Greek word in Luke could be translated as recognized, intuited. She saw in ways that others couldn't. And her recognition was the truth that the hope she had held for so long was fulfilled in this baby. Hey, all of you, looking for redemption? Here he is! And he's pretty cute, too. Praise God. As Anna saw in her deep knowing way, she believed Jesus into being that prophetic answer. In Anna's eyes, Jesus became so much. In her eyes, the whole world was renewed. As Anna focused her attention on hope, Simeon saw salvation and freedom as he took in the babe of Jesus. In Simeon's eyes, Jesus and his parents were not dismissed, but fully understood and seen for the incredible gift and power that they were and represented in humanity. Also being a prophet and dedicated servant of God, Simeon had communed with the holy to seek wisdom and to be one in outlook, hope, truth, and character with God. To him, the freedom he beheld in the baby Jesus equated to union with God. This union was not something that he or anyone had to strive for. It wasn't a hidden treasure that you had to go find, and it wasn't to be earned like good grades or gold stars. As Richard Rohr says, this union is the place from which we come and the place from which we are called to live now. Likewise, this union with God has to be lived here and now, even in the paradoxical experiences that Simeon, Mary and Joseph, Jesus, and we experience every day. The paradoxes of joy and pain, healing and suffering. Simeon bluntly tells Mary, "This child is destined for the rising and falling of many in Israel. He will be opposed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too." I believe this was a fair warning to Mary, who could expect these things in the very life of her son. But it was also an important warning to her that she know her motherhood would not temper or sugarcoat the conviction she would feel and the way of life she would have to claim to be in communion and union with God. Still, Simeon believed the truth of this union, even with complex human realities, expressed freedom, a freedom that could hold both the deep love and deep suffering. Rohr says the resurrection frees us from the endless cycle of projecting pain or being trapped by that pain. And Simeon declares, "My eyes have seen your salvation. I believe you, Mary, Mother of God. And you, Jesus, Redeemer and Healer, have a value more abundant and crucial than you know, as you model and claim the path of love toward peace and freedom, disentangling all of us from false bonds." While these witnesses of God and Jesus, seeing and believing a small baby into his fullness, have intrigue and fiery momentum in this story, Anna and Simeon can also feel fairly distant, a Christmas story for sure, and maybe only meant for the Son of God. The entire encounter is hard to pin down and relate to today. How majestic and sacred and prized would our lives have to be to fully appreciate and comprehend the scene? I mean, did any of you have a prophet show up at your door when you were born? It's kind of hard to imagine. And while I can't answer for everyone, I do think we are actually closer to this sacred expression and their exclamations than we've imagined. And we're closer with our everyday lives. About 10 years ago, a friend from graduate school raced with her husband to the hospital for an emergency C-section of their first child. Dugu and her husband, Amut, are Turkish Muslims, and they were studying business school in the Pacific Northwest. But they were anxiously welcoming their baby girl into the world this day, 6 weeks early, so that the doctors might somehow heal or reverse or miraculously improve their baby's swollen brain. A tumor, bleeding, and numerous other circumstances claimed baby Duru, while her young parents held fast to her, day by day, unanswered question by question. Each day in the hospital, they held Duru and believed her into being. Their presence and prayers didn't change the situation much, but they gave, realized, and witnessed to this child's value and belovedness. Baby Duru was so much to them and to God, Allah, as they took her in, seeing what she couldn't see, knowing a different wholeness of body than she would ever know. A month after her birth, Duru died in the hospital, leaving her mom and dad, grandparents, and so many others with utter suffering, despite the joy that she had once elicited in pregnancy and life. My friends experienced great love and great pain. A few weeks after the burial, Dugu and I went to coffee. She explained to me that she had always envied the joy Mac and I had exhibited as a couple. And then she said, "But now I know what real pain is, too." And with the understanding of pain, I see joy with more vibrancy. The relationship of pain and joy transformed both and transformed these parents, giving them access to a deep residing joy that they never experienced before. Dugu and Amut experienced being the bearers of union for Duru. They were the safe harbor and tender souls from which she came. And they became the recipients of union with God in this incredible season of life and death. In their vulnerability, their ego was stripped of its chiding force, including shame, guilt, and judgment about an unfair world. They saw and believed through the freedom of divine love that they would hope again. They would see and believe someone to life again. How does this attention, this union, this relationship between suffering and loving resemble and express the very character of God? The Apostle Paul attempts to articulate this mystery and character, particularly in the partnership of God and Christ. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, "Before the world was created, God had Christ choose us to live with him and to be his holy and innocent and loving people. God was kind and decided that Christ would choose us to be God's own adopted children. God was very kind to us because of the Son he dearly loves, and so we should praise God. God has great wisdom and understanding, and by what Christ has done, God has shown us his own mysterious ways. Then, when the time is right, God will do all that he has planned, and Christ will bring together everything in heaven and on earth. Those who already have found their inheritance and their parentage in God, they and all things of the world will be gathered in Christ." In other words, our very beings, our relationships with one another and the world, our inherent oneness with God will be fully realized through Christ. And so Anna and Simeon and one another give us a lens of God's character. Like Anna, God sees and intuits our very essence and promise. God finds it very good, since it's made for fullness and wholeness with God. God doesn't seek human perfection, but instead a continual renewal and healing through hope to live out that union from which we come. As Simeon expressed, God sets forth the way of life and freedom now and throughout all time. Even before the foundation of the world, God united, is uniting, and will unite all things in heaven and earth. So for any one of us, mothers, nurturers, or not, if we live from the union of God, that place from which we came, and the place from which we are called to live now, we can believe people into being. We can offer that mirror to their soul so they see who they are and whose they are. We can see what others can't, and oftentimes this is an expression and message of hope. We can give purpose and relationship to another. We can be in solidarity with those who are deeply loving and deeply suffering all at the same time. Such solidarity is a sacred act. And we can remind each other that we are each already named God's beloved children. A newer musical, Dear Evan Hansen, tells a story of a teenage boy who has taken his life and the responses of his classmates. It's very difficult for them to understand why this happened and who this boy really was. And as they're trying to put words to this terrible situation, they sing, "Nobody deserves to be forgotten. Nobody deserves to fade away, to disappear." As we claim that prophetic hope and freedom that Anna and Simeon expressed and that resides in us through Christ, we claim all the memories that bear the mark of life and believing another into being. Disappearing, being forgotten, isn't possible, especially in the heart of God. We can live from that union with God and that strange faith that we hold with each other. "You will be found," in the words of the musical's closing number. You will be found. You will be held. You will be, you beloved child of God. Amen. We're going to celebrate the love that has been expressed through God and Christ and one another in our final song. And it may be a little new to you. It's got a little groove to it. So Jerry's going to play it for us all the way through. And then with the choir's help, we'll sing it together. So I'll invite you to stand as you're able as we sing Celebrate Love. Thank you. go into this world, know that you're going with God, who is holding up a mirror to you to remind you of who you are and whose you are. May that be filled with a union that takes you with love, takes you with mercy, takes you with peace, and a prophetic word to people who haven't heard it. Take God's light into the world with you this day, with his peace and love always. Amen.